This is Wolf's Campfire, and you're about to listen to Three Scary Skinwalker Encounters, Volume 4. You can also check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/wolfscampfire. Now with that said, whether you're sitting around a campfire, or on the night shift, or even laying in bed, let my voice soothe your nightmares. Skinwalker in the Woods, written by Dark Raven.
I live next to a Navajo reservation, and have made friends with many of the people there my age. We like to hang out, play video games, and just be normal teens. I walk over a lot since my best friend lives a little less than a mile away from me. This isn't a long trek, and usually only takes me about 25 to 30 minutes. I've made this trip dozens of times and have grown very comfortable with it. I know the people along the way, so I'm not scared or on edge. There is a patch of forest, however, about midway there. It's a little unnerving sometimes. There's always that feeling of being watched. This was a regular occurrence for me, so I tried to just ignore it and shake it off as my mind played tricks on me. This day, I spent more time at my friend's house than I meant to, and when I left, it was already getting dark. I reached the stretch of forest right as the sun disappeared from the sky. I shivered a little as I readied myself to begin the journey through. I was 10 steps in when I heard a branch snap. You know that sound. The one that screams there is definitely someone or something there with you. I froze, not sure of what I should do next. Should I run? Should I turn around and book it back to my friend's house? I didn't know the best option in this situation. I whispered, "Hello?" Hearing my voice crack as the words fell from my lips. I don't know why I even opened my mouth, but it was out there, so I listened for any reply. My heart sank when the answer came back in the sound of my voice. "Hello?" I started to breathe a little bit too fast. My heart pounded against my chest. I felt like I might faint. "Hello?" My voice came again, but not from my mouth. I wanted to run, but my feet felt cemented to the ground. I couldn't scream, I couldn't reply, as my voice echoed over and over from a short distance away. I couldn't pinpoint exactly where it was coming from. It sounded like it was everywhere around me.
"Hello?"
It repeated. "Stop it!" I finally managed to tear from my lips. Everything went silent. For a long minute, nothing happened. The air grew stale, and I realized for the first time that there were no typical forest sounds. There were no bugs, no frogs, or crickets. Nothing. I stood there, terrified, waiting to see what would happen next. "Stop it!" It mimicked back. I'd had enough and was willing my heavy legs to move. Before I could take a step, I heard rustling in the bushes 20 feet from my left. I watched in horror as a deer head with huge antlers protruded through the brush. As it came further out and stood up on twos, I took off. I flew out of those woods and all the way home in record time. I said nothing to my mom when I got there. I just went up to my room, lay down, and thought about what happened. My mother came in at some point and asked me if everything was all right. I replied that yes, I was just tired. I don't know why I didn't tell her. I guess I might have been afraid of how she would react. I called my friend and told him everything. He freaked out and he told me no matter what happened that night, to not reply or look out my window. This terrified me even more. He said to call him the next morning and he would explain more, and that he had to speak to his grandfather as soon as possible. That night, I didn't sleep at all. I stayed awake listening to every little sound the night brought. Around 3 a.m., just as I was about to drift off, the air changed. The night sounds quieted. I felt my heart beginning to pound. I lay there and waited, pulling the covers up over my head like a child, far too scared to move. It came after a long moment. "Hello?" I cried. It was all I could do. "Hello? Stop it!" It mocked what I had said in the woods again. It was terrifying enough when it copied what I said, but then it did something new. It called my name. Amy! My mother's voice. Amy! Amy, come here! Hello? Stop it! My voice again. For the rest of the night, the creature outside my window called my name in my mother's voice and repeated what I said in the woods over and over. In the morning, when the sun broke through the dark, it finally stopped. I fell into a fitful sleep. I woke around 12 to my friend's calling to tell me he had spoken to his grandfather and could explain what happened to me. He said there was a creature they called a Yi Nandalushi, he who goes on all fours, or a skinwalker in other words. He explained that it was an evil witch that used dark magic to transform it into an animal, with the attributes it required, and that it had caught my scent and knew me now. It was also giving me a warning, that since it knew me, it would always follow me, that I would always have to be careful. Last night, I heard scratching on my window, then a low hum. The creature began saying my name again, but also adding in things I hadn't said in my mother's voice. At one point, it started calling my name, but drawing it out really far, like, Amy. It tried to get me to come outside, or to open the door and let it in my house. This went on all night. At this point, I feel like I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do. Is it seriously going to stalk the shadows around me for the rest of my life? I don't think I can take that.
Skinwalker on the Reservation, Four Corners Area, written by Mark Azesius.
So, have you ever heard of BFE, or Buttfrick Egypt? Term referring to the middle of nowhere. That's where I grew up. 7 miles south of the only civilization for miles, and had to be clear that town hardly qualifies as a civilization. I believe the population at the time was about 1,500. 7 miles from a small, mostly white community, and 4 miles from the local reservation, but we didn't spend much time there, since it didn't really have a full grocery store, or any real reason to go there on a regular basis. But technically, my house and the whole area this takes place in are on the reservation land. So, at the time, my best friend and I lived on opposite sides of our town. We would often sneak out. Our parents never gave us curfew, since we had nowhere for miles to get into any real trouble. So, they just assumed. We would walk about 5 miles each and meet in the middle, out on a gravel road in the middle of nowhere, literally just to sit in a ditch and smoke weed and catch up on all the nothing that has happened to us. The landscape there is what we fondly refer to as tree desert, Jupiter trees and sagebrush being the main plants, and all the animals were small rodents and the occasional deer. Saw a mountain lion a couple of times, but that was about the extent of the wildlife and plant life. So, this particular night, it was a very clear night with a full moon, so it was quite bright out, and I hadn't even considered a flashlight, as I would be walking down a well-traveled dirt road with plenty of light to see where I was going. The majority of the walk, around 4 miles, went peacefully through the tree desert. It was a warm, quiet summer night, so it was very pleasant out. I was just coming over this final hill, which marks me being in the home stretch to our meeting place, and noticed how quiet it was. Yes, it's nighttime around 1 a.m. or midnight, but still, there should have been the scuffle of animals, cars in the distance, something, anything. That's when I heard it. I was walking on the gravel road, so each step was loud. Crunch, crunch, crunch. When I came over the hill and was starting down the other side, I noticed crunches on the gravel that were very clearly not my own feet. I could tell because they were coming from behind me. Each time I would stop and look behind me, of course, they would stop. And naturally, I didn't see anything behind me. So, I'm getting a bit freaked out at this point. My position of being very alone, out in the middle of nowhere, becoming more apparent and scary with each step. Each step I took, there was my shadow, seemingly getting closer as the second set of crunchy footsteps was getting louder the further I went. The last time I looked behind me, I saw something. Something big. As I peered through the gloom up the hill I had just come down, something walked out of the trees on the left side of the road. Something walking on two legs. Something taller than any human I've ever seen. Granted, I'm at the bottom of a hill, so my perspective isn't great, but I'm talking like a 7 to 8 foot bipedal thing. In the light of the moon, it looked like it was wearing one of those suits painters wear, with white coveralls, that they put on before they start painting, like a baggy jumpsuit. I could only make it out because of the clothing, or whatever it was all white reflecting the moonlight, with something on top of its head, like antlers. It slowly walked out into the middle of the road and stood very still, looking across it. I'm down to its right. So, I was being transfixed, just staring in awe, totally lost and petrified. Before I realized what I was doing, I took a step backwards, a very loud step backwards. Its head snapped to my direction, and it crouched down and roared. Just typing that gave me chills. Remembering that noise, it sounded like the cross between a bear roaring and a woman screaming, both low and high-pitched at the same time, quite literally raising the hair on my neck. Just remembering, it raises the hair on my arms. I'll never get the next image out of my mind till that day I die. After its roar, it sat for the briefest moment, and then from its crouched position, it jumped very high, very far, and very fast. With the moon behind it, I saw it fly into the air, fully outstretched, and caught a brief outline of its silhouette against the moon. Its long legs bent the wrong way at the knee, its arms stretched out much further than natural, with long hands or maybe paws? With very long fingers or claws. The last thing I remembered was its eyes. White hot blazing with rage. They were so empty and white, and yet so alive with rage and hunger? As it arced up through the sky and met my eyes with its own, I fled. If you have to wonder if you've ever experienced a fight-or-flight response, then you most definitely have not experienced it. You'll know. I remember trying to run as fast as humanely able to, and I couldn't get good traction on the road with all the loose gravel. I was moving to be sure, but not nearly fast enough. I have no idea how far that thing could jump, but it was most definitely moving much faster than I was able to. I ran and ran and ran. Luckily, I was close to our meeting place. As I came to our usual roadside haunt, off to the side of the road with a big culvert under the road, I heard footsteps crunching again. They were sprinting towards me, heavy and fast, but not from behind me. It was in front of me suddenly. Before I could change direction or hide, a figure came sprinting out of the dark toward me. Now, I love this friend I was going to meet dearly. She is still one of my best friends to this day. I have never in my life been so happy to see her, though. As she came sprinting towards me out of the dark, my heart skipped a beat, and I almost fell into the middle of the road with relief. Tears in my eyes, gasping for breath, but this was no time to relax just yet. That thing was still chasing from behind, right? The moment we were in earshot of each other, we were whispering, screaming so fast. We clung to each other, shaking each, trying to tell the other what had just happened to them. Both talking so fast in our whispers scream, just talking right over each other. I told her we didn't have time to talk and had to run the way she had come, and she said no way, something had been chasing her as well. I said, no, you don't understand, it's going to kill us or something, it's right there. As I turned around and pointed back up the moonlight hillside, I saw her eyes go wide, and she suddenly went silent, a rare occurrence with this friend. Our gaze traveled along the road. Nothing was there, though, much to my dismay, since I had been in tears when we met. Then, at the very top of the hill, we saw it, or should I say, them. Now there was two of the creatures, standing side by side, arms long, almost to where knees should have been. They stood staring at us, and us at them, for what felt like hours. We didn't dare move or even breathe. We were next to a Jupiter tree, which was casting a shadow on us, like it mattered. I think we felt some slim semblance of security there, in the shadows of that Jupiter, on that brightly moonlit night, praying that we might, maybe, just maybe, the shadow of this tiny tree was enough to conceal us from whatever they were. A low, long howl came from them, exactly like a howl of a coyote, very common in this area. Then they crouched, and I prepared to run again, squeezing my friend's hand. Our hands slipping around in each other's grip, both trembling hands all slimy with sweat. They sat paused for a moment, and then leapt so far and so high, but not in our direction this time. They both went in opposite arcs to opposite sides of the road and into the forest again. We sat on the side of the road under the low tree for a very long time in perfect silence, waiting and waiting. It was horrible. All this time, not one sound came from around us. None of the forest noises had returned. After a long time, we heard a dog barking in the distance. That was what broke the spell. I think we told ourselves that the dog was barking at whatever we had seen, so it must be far away by now, right? We needed to convince ourselves it was safe to move again. That night, we ran 5 miles all the way back to my home. Yes, right through where we had just seen these things. Where else would we go? At least, we had each other. Unable to sleep, we stayed up in my room till the sun came up, and she told me what had happened to her. Just before she met me, she almost had the same experience, walking along when she noticed the lack of sounds as well. I hadn't told her this detail from my story yet. This was particularly odd for her, because while I was walking through a more forested area, she had just come off the highway and was passing this house we both knew kept around 5 to 6 pit bulls in the fenced-in area by the road. You couldn't walk past there without them causing a frenzy and barking their heads off at cars or deer or anything that moved. Thinking this would be weird, and being the curious girl that she was, she ventured over a little ways to get a better look at the dog pen. She said all of the dogs were cowering in one corner of the yard, crawling on top of each other, whimpering quietly, while one dog stood in the center of the pen, perfectly still. She said the dog then appeared to stand up on 2 legs and started growling till it was about 7 feet tall. At that point, it grabbed the top of the 5-foot-high chain-link fence with its front arm and threw itself high into the air. She then started running for her life till we met each other on the road. I don't know what we saw out there that night. I hope I never see it again. I was told by my parents' friends from the reservation, a native family, that we had described skinwalkers. They told us, if they are ever in your home, all you have to do is tell them you are not welcome here, and they leave. But what if you find yourself in their home? Then, who is unwelcome?
Skinwalker Encounter, written by King 517.
This story is probably the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. I live in Montana, where people are known for sighting tiny people in the mountains and skinwalkers. This story is about a skinwalker. I don't really know what a skinwalker was until I encountered one. Me and at least 5 other people decided to go out and have a few drinks to celebrate one of our buddies' birthdays. We will call him Bill. It was July 15th, 2017. We were over his house smoking weed and having a few beers. One of the buddies said we should go do some scary stuff to see who pussied out first. Everyone agreed, being the cross-faded people we were. Bill said there was an abandoned barn on his land, and his parents always told him to never go over there because of reasons. He said he will tell us the reasons on the way. We all get up and leave and started to walk towards the barn. The barn was at least 20 minutes away. It was nothing but grass and open fields because he lived on what used to be a farm. So, there was a lot of acres. Bill started to tell the story of his great-great-grandfather and how he used to beat his wife in the barn to teach them lessons. But, one day, once he was finished beating one of his wives and chained her up, his fingernails started to turn black. He started to scream that he was on fire and his skin slowly turned more black from the finer tips all the way up to his head and covered his whole body, almost like he was being burned. Once the story was finished, we got to the barn. We all looked over to it. It is exactly what you would think a barn would look. Painted red, really old. This was maybe 9 p.m., so it was pretty dark out. Bill walked up to the door, and we all followed as he opens the barn door and it unchains from the barn and falls flat on the ground. If one of us stood in the way of the door, we would probably have been killed if we weren't careful. We continued on, though, as we walked into the barn. It was quiet, no bugs or rats to be heard. We walked around the place for a few. One of our buddies pulls out a phone and shines the light so we could see. He shines it at the horse entrance of the farm, the door at the back. As we see a tall white figure, its eyes glowed like someone was taking a picture on a cat. Its back was arched up as it crawled on its two legs and its two long arms. The arms had huge claws on them, almost like a wolf's, but without the fur, as it just stares at us. It was staring right at me. I was dazed in fear as one of my friends had to knock me out of it and we all ran. Once we left the barn, I looked back to it staring back at us from the front doors where the door had fallen. It cracked its neck to the side. You could hear it crack its neck from at least a mile away. It was so loud. We ran all the way back to the house, not looking back after that. We all decided to stay out in the living room, as it was the smartest thing to do since we were in a group. One of our friends said he couldn't sleep on the floor, and he begged Bill to let him use his room to sleep. Bill let him. We all fell asleep about an hour later. We woke up around 3:30 a.m. to hear an old man screaming from Bill's room. It wasn't his father, as he was out of town, nor was it our friend. We all tried to get into the room, but it was locked. I told everyone to back up, as I had kicked down the door and barged into the room to see our friend curled up in the corner, covering his face with his knees. We all walk over to him and try to convince him it's okay, that it's just us. But he pushes us away and says to leave him alone. We left the room, not knowing what happened, as we hear the front door open and something heavy barge out of the house, like it was crawling through the house. We ran outside with a flashlight, as we had seen the tall white creature we once saw before we ran back to the barn. It ran like it was jumping, almost like a lion does, but more air in between the run. Our friend still doesn't want to talk about what he saw that night, as once he remembers it, he starts to throw up and becomes scared. I soon started to talk about the story whenever I went camping with friends a few months after, and they said I encountered a skinwalker. We had never gone back to the barn since.